Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Out here, if you're doing nothing, you're doing everything right. Though on a cruise with Norwegian, even if you're doing nothing, you're still basking in the warm sun, enjoying the peaceful ocean waves, you're breathing. Don't forget about breathing. Definitely need to be breathing. So you get to do nothing, or everything, but you still need to be breathing. It's like really important.
Experience the difference with cruises to Alaska, the Caribbean, and Europe. Norwegian Cruise Line. It's different out here. Visit NCL.com, call your travel advisor, or 1-888-NCL-CRUISE. Norwegian Cruise Line ships registry with Bahamas and USA.
Welcome back in. Hour number two of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5. The game brought to you by Volunteer State Bank. Real people, real solutions right here. Member FDIC, equal housing lender. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Thursday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, and YouTube today and every day. Our video streaming brought to you by the Law Offices of Amanda Gentry. Going to have Titans outside linebacker Bud Dupree join us at 7:40. So looking forward to that conversation coming up later this hour with Bud Dupree. We'll get his thoughts on the big divisional matchup coming up on Sunday against Indianapolis. Take your thoughts on our text line as well, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Joe, the Vols in action coming up this weekend against the Florida Gators. And the line, which at one point last week for Tennessee, Florida was favored by 16.5 in this game. That line has now shifted. And you look at the line on FanDuel Sportsbook, Florida now favored by 18.5. So the other day it was 20.5. Now it's gone down to 18.5. Money's coming in on Tennessee, my friend.
Vols fans feeling good? Is that a lot of Vols fans laying on their team?
That's right. Or maybe
it is a big line.
Maybe it's nationally thinking that there could be a little bit of a letdown coming from Florida. Who knows?
Well, it's a big number. Yeah. I mean, it's still a big number, but 20 hit me like, whoa, really? 20.5? That was big. So maybe that is a little bit of I can see a lot of people looking at that like, oh,
course
okay.
Correction. Yeah.
I can see a lot of people looking at that line saying, oh, yeah, okay. I think the Vols can keep within 20.
We'll see.
Maybe it's also a little bit of excitement from the fan base.
A little bit of excitement from the fan base, and you can tell that it's a big game coming up for Tennessee. A little bit of gamesmanship going on from Josh Heupel. We talked on Tuesday about how Josh Heupel said on Monday that there was no update at this point on Joe Milton and that they would have to see how practice went on Tuesday and Wednesday to evaluate the quarterback position heading into the Florida game. Well, obviously, Josh Heupel was asked again yesterday about Joe Milton and whether or not there's an update. And Josh Heupel said, quote, no update at this point on Joe Milton. That room, there's positives on all those guys and things they've done. First and foremost, we have to take better care of the ball at that position. That's where our turnovers have come on that side of the ball. So no update on Joe Milton, which is hilarious to me because he's either practiced on Tuesday and Wednesday or he's not practiced on Tuesday and Wednesday, but no update on that guy.
Well, he didn't say, I don't know.
He just said, I
have no update for you. So may as well. I suppose if you're Dan Mullen, does it factor in all Todd Grant? Does it matter at all? Like who's quarterback? Like, does it matter to your week of prep at all? I don't think it does. I mean, it's a different skill set, but it's the offense is the same.
Yeah, you got to get ready for tempo.
Yeah. Tempo, both guys are there's going to be some QB run stuff with both sides, both guys. So, but hey, Heupel does not like giving updates.
Yeah, he really didn't even give updates Tennessee Tech week. And I was like, wow. Playing the cards close to the vest on Tennessee Tech, man.
I guess he's trying to be consistent.
I guess so.
He's going to let everybody know, look, I'm not. If I have anything like this, I'm just going to go ahead and play the cards close and hope that there's some kind of edge.
Look, I'm not going to complain too much. I've appreciated Josh Heupel and his press conferences so far. I mean, there's a lot of fluff in there. But I did appreciate on Saturday, like, how you could tell he was still visibly upset by throws that his quarterback is missing in a 56-0 win for Tennessee. It's pretty good stuff. I hope that that sort of energy continues.
Yeah, well, and that's the thing. He's the head football coach. There's a lot that he's concerned about and he has to deal with. But that position, I mean, that's his baby.
Yeah.
So he's probably going to be hypercritical. And, look, he should be upset with some of the opportunities just because now, starting this week, you're toast if you don't.
Yeah.
Because you get one or two in a game, right?
Yep.
And so you better hit them.
So if Joe Milton is the starting quarterback on Saturday, if you're Florida, do you almost dare him to throw the deep ball? Like, is that the way you play it if you're Florida and you say, you know what, we don't think you can hit one of these 45 yards down the field because we've not seen you do it yet. Is that the way you're going to play if you're Florida?
I mean, you still want safeties to be responsible.
Sure.
You still want to run with receivers.
But are you more willing maybe to take chances closer to the line of scrimmage, thinking to yourself, well, if they get open, he's not going to hit them?
Yeah, sure. I mean, Pittsburgh did that. Now, granted, again, and we had Narduzzi on, that's what Pittsburgh does. That's his philosophy is, like, I think – most college quarterbacks are going to miss most of these. And, of course, you want tight press coverage, and you got to be perfect with the throw. Now, in that game, there were a few times where you didn't have to be perfect with a throw. You just had to get it close. And so that really was Pittsburgh having some busts. But, yeah, I think that until evidence proves otherwise, defense is playing Tennessee. Just be aggressive. You can be aggressive. Now, you also are watching film of the Vols, and you're saying, boy, that Jalen Hyatt's pretty good, and boy, that Jimmy Callaway is going to be a good player. And speed. You know, these are legit guys.
I've been blown away by Cedric Tillman.
Tillman's?
I mean, he's been around there for a while, and he's not really ever been a factor. He's getting open every game now.
And now Velus Jones is healthy. Yeah. I mean, that's their most talented group. So, like, if I'm Todd Grantham this week, I'm like, that's where they're dangerous, is right there. That group of receivers could be a problem. So, but at the same time, yeah, I still feel good about being aggressive because even though I don't know who the quarterback is going to be, I feel good about getting after him.
If you took a poll of every Tennessee fan out there, who do you think they want to be the starting quarterback against Florida? How do you think that poll breaks down between Joe Milton, Hendon Hooker,
and Harrison Bailey. Bailey. Oh, about 88% Harrison Bailey.
I went back and watched some of his quarterback play against Tennessee Tech. I mean, I watched it live, too. Wasn't very good.
Yeah, and, you know, he's the number three guy. He's not getting the same reps. So I guess you could make the excuses for him. I think Harrison Bailey could be a good quarterback someday, probably somewhere else. But the fascination with him has been something else. I mean, we could combine that with, like, Pred's Facebook and the anti-Lawan Titans Twitter, and it's quite a crew. I wonder if it's all the same people.
Could be.
That's a great question. I think Hendon Hooker might win a poll of Vols fans. That's just a guess.
I think he might.
But I think a lot of Vols fans think kind of what we've talked about. Game like this. Who is the quarterback who has the most potential on a given day to make just huge plays and do things that not many people can do? And that's why I would go with Milton if he can move well. If he's close to 100%, I would go with him.
I would too. Now, if he the first overthrow that he has, and look, I'm here to tell you, he'll overthrow somebody on Saturday. He will. It's going to happen. The first time that happens, I'm putting the game on mute, I'm opening up Twitter, and I'm just letting it roll. I'm just going to see what happens because it's going to be something.
It's actually, in a way, it's actually – and I don't know. I don't remember. Did he get – I don't think he got booed in that Pittsburgh game. It hadn't reached – booing levels?
They were booing.
I don't remember that. It wasn't much, though, like at least from the press
box. You could hear it on the TV broadcast.
Could you? Yeah. Okay. I was going to say, the Jofer throws might be better on the road, because you don't have to worry about, like, your fans being mad at you.
Might get cheered.
Yeah, get some cheers for your Jofer throw. But
maybe some of that Florida humidity will catch the football in the air and slow that thing down a little bit.
hey, if he can look, if he can harness it, the thing is, what if he hits one? You know,
I know.
What's that? It's almost like you know, basketball team. You got a great shooter. And I know it's different because, I mean, Joe Milton's just starting out with Tennessee. But, you know, goes through a shooting slump. And then you hit, like, that 1-3. And, like, the whole team is, it brings everyone up. You know, if he hits a bomb in this game.
Well, I thought that's what they were going to see in the Pittsburgh game. When he threw that first pass to Jalen Hyatt.
Right.
And I was like, there it is. He's figured it out. Here we go. And didn't necessarily mean that.
Yeah. That just meant. Only throw vertical shots from like your own 30 or farther away. You know, when you get to midfield, it's too close.
Maybe so. There could be some truth to that. We'll see what Tennessee does at the quarterback position coming up on Saturday down in Gainesville. We'll continue to talk college football. Take your thoughts on our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, including another classic rant from Nick Saban yesterday at Alabama. We'll get to that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Join us in partnering with the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society's Light the Night. Light the Night brings light to the darkness of cancer through hope, research, and support for patients and their families. Through this inspirational nationwide movement, we raise awareness and funding for groundbreaking research and treatment options to eliminate cancer. Nashville's Light the Night will be virtual and take place on November the 4th. Learn more at lightthenight.org/TN. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, brought to you by Volunteer State Bank, conveniently serving Middle Tennessee with 13 locations. Member FDIC, equal housing lender. Going to have Titans outside linebacker Bud Dupree joining us later this hour at 7:40. So looking forward to that conversation coming up here in less than 30 minutes at this point. So we'll be joined by Bud Dupree at 7:40. Joe Rexro, we got another classic rant yesterday from Nick Saban down at Alabama, and it seems like every time that that Alabama is playing somebody that you know they're going to just absolutely crush, Nick Saban uses the opportunity on that week to really just go off. And Alabama playing against Southern Miss on Saturday night at 6:30, and we saw this a couple weeks ago with Mercer, and he talked about his team and how they couldn't practice and all this other stuff. And yesterday, another classic Saban rant, this time at the expense of a sports reporter. Here was Nick Saban yesterday at Alabama's press conference.
Yeah. What has Jaleel Billingsley proven to you to see his role increased as the season's moved on?
Well, he's doing what he's supposed to do. He practices better. He's more engaged. He's more focused on what he's supposed to do. And he's having more positive performance on the field, which is what any player is supposed to do. I think did any of you play sports? I mean, the coach is supposed to play the best players, right? And then it's up to the players to do what they're supposed to do so they get to play because they become one of the best players. So that's what he's doing now. But I don't know, maybe if you didn't play, maybe that's not something that you quite get.
Go to Aaron.
So to answer your question, he's doing what he's supposed to do.
That was Nick Saban yesterday at Alabama's press conference. Any of you play sports? And y'all get on the field at any point, play anything.
See, you think that's funny and all great. I get PTSD every time. That was actually like 90s Nick Saban.
Every now and then you get a flashback.
The young journalist dealing with that guy when he was a 500 coach at Michigan State.
Putting you through the grinder, man.
He is a sweetheart now. He is a sweetheart. But boy, I was like, ooh, that's like old Saban there. When he looked like 25 years older in the 90s.
Yeah.
Before, like, Just for Men or whatever the heck happened to his hair. Like,
young Rex Rhodes stressed in the press conference. I can see it now.
Now, there were, like, legitimately, I'm sure there's audio somewhere in the world, the most harmless, like, question about, like, their nickel defense, and it was basically just like, so you know nothing about football? I'm going to shame you now for the next 30 seconds. Like, yeah. Okay, dude.
Okay.
Sounds thanks. Like Jim Boeheim.
We appreciate it.
Boeheim? Yeah, I can see that.
I can see that too.
Did you guys play sports?
Gosh, Saban. I just wonder why it seems like it's always weeks like this where he just goes nuts on somebody. It's never like when it's Auburn, Alabama. Nick Saban's never going nuts on anybody.
Well, I think Nick Saban is very much, obviously, a process coach. I mean, any good coach is, right? So I'm sure a week like this, he's frustrated because everybody in the room knows that there's no worry. There's no need to do anything extra. There's no need to, like, go home and watch another hour of film on your iPad because you're just going to walk over this garbage opponent, you know. Weeks like that, they may be facing a tough team, but he knows everybody's locked in, right?
Yeah.
So I'm sure that's a lot of it. And maybe just wanting to be a jerk for the heck of it.
I think they're still on Zoom, too. Like, I don't think there's anybody in the room with Saban.
Oh, is that pure Zoom?
I think that was Zoom.
Is that
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
Huh. It's interesting. Who was that? I want to know.
I don't know.
I mean, a lot of those beat writers.
To that point, Alabama is a 45.5-point favorite. 45.5 against Southern Miss on Saturday. So.
Sounds about right.
Like they're going to be. Yeah. I mean, they could name their score in that game.
See, but that's.
It's like the rat poison.
I look at, well, yeah, it's a rat poison. But, I mean, look at that line, you know. It's like I'm looking at Army-UConn, whatever the line is. Yep, 42-0 at the half. And then, you know, what happens? You get the backups in. So, I mean, the Alabama fans are mad, you know, at Saban and them right now.
Well,
that's another thing.
But it is funny to me because he gets all mad about that, and I understand why. Like, looking ahead to the next opponent and not giving the proper respect, as he puts it, to the current week. But if you're asking me to sit here and believe that he and the staff have not started looking at Ole Miss tape, who they play next week, yeah, no thanks. They're looking at Ole Miss tape.
Right. And again, like, don't schedule these games.
Yeah.
If you hate these weeks so much, no one else wants to watch it either. Like, you have to be the most – I mean, obviously there are a lot of diehard Alabama fans that are going to watch their team when they play. But, like – The is there a casual college football fan who will watch one play of that crap game?
Well, maybe like one play, but how many Alabama fans are going to watch the Southern Miss game from start to finish?
I mean, again, it's just because they're laying on 45.5.
I mean, I'm crazy. I watched the Tennessee Tech game from start to finish the other day, and I couldn't believe it at the end of it.
That's fandom right there.
But
that's fandom.
How many? What is, you know, Tennessee doesn't win a whole lot, so you.
Soak it in. Like a biscuit, man.
That's right. Alabama, they win all the time. Like, how many Bama fans are going to sit there and stay at that game the whole day on Saturday?
Yeah.
Going to go to 10:30 at night.
And then Saban's going to be pissed about that.
Yeah. All these fans leaving.
Which we've
heard. Never mind, it was 59-0 at halftime.
I mean, the people who do, like, they're it's the people who super closely follow recruiting. And want to see, like, the freshman, you know, only 4-star who gets on the field in the fourth quarter. You know, the handful of the only 4-stars they have on the team.
Yeah. Kevin in Nashville texting in, 49-7, and Southern Miss covers. Book it.
Ooh.
Yeah. Could be.
Wait, this is Steven? This is Car Wash Steven?
This is Kevin in Nashville.
Oh. Okay.
I don't know where you got Steven from.
I got the VIN right.
Joe, you have too many people who you promise car washes to.
Yeah, you're going to get burned one day, man.
They're all just going to show up.
I just have one, right? Like, right now I've got one standing
and off. And a vacuum. You got a vacuum. You offered that out yesterday.
But that was with something that there's no way it would happen. So I keep it to, like, you know, unrealistic things, I think. We'll see. I don't mind washing a car. Whatever. I'll wash a car.
Yes. So, who is your top four in college football right now? If you had to rank them 1 through 4, who are the four best teams in America right now to you? I've got Georgia at number one.
Yeah, I'd probably agree with that. But even with Georgia, though, I was so impressed, right, with what they did against Clemson, because I feel like Clemson should have an incredible offense this year.
Yep.
And it turns out, well, maybe they don't, because Uiagalelei,
nice,
has just played poorly. So, is that? I mean, what has Georgia done other than that? You know, they crushed South Carolina. South Carolina's not good.
No.
Now, I'm not saying you're wrong. I might agree with you, but even with them, it's you could poke holes in what they've done. It's just very hard right now to do it. I would still have Alabama in my top four.
Oh, for sure.
I mean, I think I've got to see, and here's another thing. Like, Oregon, okay, what an impressive win. Holy cow. That team might be legit, but then Ohio State actually kind of sucks right now.
Yeah, they don't look very good.
They don't. I mean, there's all these people that are mad at Kerry Combs, like really mad. Yeah. Like they want him out of there. And then now the offense stinks last week. My top four right now, so, and I'm going on performance.
Yeah.
I would have Georgia. I would still have Alabama. I would have Penn State. I mean, Penn State going into Wisconsin and winning, impressive.
Yep.
I don't think Auburn's great, but I mean, I think that's a good, game win. You schedule. It's a good win. So I'm going Alabama, Georgia, Penn State, and I guess I would go Oregon. I guess I'd have Oregon as my fourth. I would consider an Iowa. I would consider a Cincinnati. Like Cincinnati, I hope Ryan Poore's listening.
He's crying tears of joy now.
Yeah. I mean, that was okay, I don't want to say Indiana's a tough place to play, okay? Indiana football.
That madhouse in Indiana.
Yeah. I mean, basketball, very tough place to play. Football, yeah. But they've been a pretty good program. Tom Allen has brought them to a pretty good place, and they were rolling. They had it going, and Cincinnati just took over the game in the second half. That's impressive to me. Indiana's not what people, they were preseason top 25. They're not that good.
No.
That's still a pretty good win. But, yeah, I would go with those four, with Iowa and Cincinnati on the outside.
Oklahoma not in the top four. They've been thoroughly unimpressive so far.
Yeah. I'm not impressed. I mean, Tulsa. No, wait.
And the thing is, they've
not
been.
Tulsa, Tulane.
They've been unimpressive, and they still may go undefeated.
They may. I mean, Tulane, not good. Ole Miss, what'd they do to Tulane?
They wipe the floor with them. Yeah.
Good pick, Michelle, by the way. Who's killing us in Pigskin Pick'em, but we'll get to that tomorrow.
Listen, it's just winning.
You doing the graphic today? You're going to enjoy doing that graphic.
Oh, yeah. I'm in first place in that. First place in pick to click, guys. It's a good day. Except I did lose fantasy last week, and I'm a little salty.
That's too bad. And also the Steelers lost.
I got Brennan this
relax.
Week.
Relax.
Did I tell you that?
You got Brennan this week?
Taking on Brennan this week.
I feel like Brennan's just going to win the league. Brennan's going to end up winning.
See what happens.
That can't happen. That cannot happen. But yeah, Oklahoma, Nebraska. I mean, I don't think Nebraska's very good.
No.
Will. It's a one touchdown game. And I know that it was a late, garbage, incredible interception that game. But yeah, I haven't been that impressed with them. But we'll see. It is also September football. I think especially, it happens in the NFL too. I mean, I still think the 2019 Titans are as good an example as I can think of a team changing in the same season. But in college football, September to November, there are teams that are vastly different. I still look at Alabama, and I understand they had the scare, and they don't look great right now.
They're going to be fine.
They'll be okay.
Yeah, I think they're going to be in good shape. We'll continue this conversation when we come back. Got more of your thoughts to get to on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Bud Dupree coming up at 740 as well. All that ahead, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, brought to you by Volunteer State Bank. Now with two locations in Murfreesboro, visit our brand new Murfreesboro location at 2019 Memorial Boulevard. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender. Going to be joined here in just a few minutes by Titans outside linebacker Bud Dupree, scheduled to join us at 7:40. So looking forward to that coming up a little bit later here in the show. Andrew from Dover texting in on the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. As a lifelong Alabama fan, I can say I watch every game all the way through, no matter who we are playing. So, Andrew, an intense Alabama fan.
Hey.
He's hanging around in the third quarter of the Alabama-Southern Miss game.
Well, listen, how many times a year do you get to watch a college football team? You get to watch them, I guess in the case of Alabama, you get like 15. But 12, you got 12 now, right? Like Tennessee this year, you get to see them 12 times in a year. So you soak in that win over Tennessee Tech. Soak it all in. Go back and watch those Harrison Bailey reps.
Yeah, I will.
And you did.
It's good stuff.
I'm glad you enjoyed it.
Yes. Trying to come up with my top four. Like Alabama, Georgia, certainly in my top four. I mean, I guess I'd have to put Oregon in there at this point.
I mean, give the Pac-12 a little love. I'm sure at some point they'll be irrelevant again this year. I'm sure give them a little love right now.
I mean, I guess Penn State's in there. I mean, in resume-wise, they're in there. Like, Notre Dame's not. Let me just go on and call a shot here on a Thursday. Wisconsin is taking down Notre Dame this
week. Yeah, you think so?
I've been thoroughly unimpressed with Notre Dame. Although that guy, Brian Kelly, he just seems to find a way to win some of these ugly games that you think he has no business winning. And I have zero confidence in Graham Mertz at Wisconsin. So I don't know why I just said that they're definitely taking down Notre Dame. But I just have a feeling Wisconsin's going to get it done.
That's a fascinating game with, obviously, with Jack Cohn and Mertz. And, yeah, Notre Dame, I mean, they handled Purdue pretty well. I don't know how good Purdue is. The Toledo game, very troubling. And now you look at how bad Florida State apparently is. And then look back at that game. Now, granted, it's the season opener. It's prime time. So you're going to get their best. But they have not been impressive. When is that Notre Dame-Wisconsin game? I want to watch that.
Saturday.
Thank you.
Let me see.
I'll look it up.
You do that.
I just took the show to a grinding halt.
Well, I think Wisconsin is a favorite today. It's a Saturday at 11 o'clock. So it's probably, could it be the, I don't guess it's the big noon game with Gus Johnson. It's probably on NBC.
It is? No, it's, is it it's big on noon? Fox.
So Gus Johnson's in there. All Wisconsin's 6.5-point favorites.
Well, I know what I'm streaming as I watch Vanderbilt upset Georgia Saturday in the press box at Vanderbilt Stadium.
There you go. MTSU taking on Charlotte this week. Charlotte, a 2.5-point favorite. Will Healy, tell you what, keep an eye out for Will Healy as he moves forward here.
Yep.
A lot of Vanderbilt fans really wanted Will Healy last year.
Well, that, you can still find my comment on the internet, why Vanderbilt should hire Will Healy. Someone's going to get him. And, yeah, we'll see. I mean, he's been very impressive. And obviously Charlotte beating Duke, that's a big program win for Charlotte, which is a very new football program.
It is. Christopher on Periscope, could you say the reason Notre Dame keeps winning is the luck of the Irish? That's a solid Ryan Porth-esque dad joke by Christopher on Periscope. We appreciate that here on the program.
Hey, I'm of a certain age. I saw, boy, the Lou Holtz era. My gosh, did they get some wins that they had no, like triple immaculate reception stuff back in the day. So it's real. But then you get that Rocket Ismail touchdown called back on a clip, and it's all worthwhile.
Most intriguing matchup in college football to me this weekend coming up, A&M, Arkansas.
Yeah.
I think that's going to be a really good game.
I
think it's down at Jerry's World.
Is that right?
I think so.
Yeah, that's a very interesting game. So that's okay. So that's the 2:30. That's the CBS 2:30.
Yep.
At Jerry World. That's interesting. What's the fan composition going to be for that game? I mean, I would think
pretty split. I think
you think so.
Yeah. Oh, those Arkansas fans,
sure,
they'll get there.
I'm sure they try to have the tickets distributed that way. But I still would. Wouldn't you think there'd be a pretty some kind of an edge for A&M?
I mean, probably. Yeah.
But hey. Arkansas fans, long suffering, and Sam Pittman.
Call the Hogs.
Has done some good stuff there.
When we come back, we'll be joined by Titans outside linebacker Bud Dupree. We'll look ahead at Sunday's matchup between the Titans and the Colts. That's next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, brought to you by Volunteer State Bank. Real people, real solutions right here. Member FDIC, equal housing lender. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Thursday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Scheduled to be joined here shortly by Titans outside linebacker, almost said offensive linebacker. That'd been a brand new position in the NFL. Outside linebacker, Bud Dupree.
Isn't that what Derrick Henry is?
An offensive linebacker?
Yeah, basically.
You can make a pretty good argument. I'm interested. I'm going to ask Bud Dupree about this. Like, obviously, he's played against Derrick Henry before, and he has seen the highlights of what Derrick Henry can do. Like, I do wonder, being around him every day in practice and watching it happen on your team, what that's like. Like, to come in as an outsider, like, oh, look at that guy. I don't have to tackle him anymore. That's good. It's got to be a good feeling if you're Bud Dupree.
Well, and also to come in and just during practice, even though you're not taking people to the ground. You know, he's in the sandpit. You don't have to deal with him.
That's right. That's right. And with that in mind, let's go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in Titans outside linebacker Bud Dupree. Bud, what's going on, man? Thanks for taking time to join us.
Yeah, how you doing? Appreciate y'all having me.
We appreciate you joining us. And Bud, we were just talking about, obviously, you've played against Derrick Henry before, and you're very familiar with what he's done in the league. What's it like to be Derrick Henry's teammate now and to watch him have a performance like he did on Sunday against Seattle?
Man, you know, it's great being on the other side of the ball, not having to worry about tackling him. Just get to worry about cheering him on, man. So that's always a plus. You know, he's been doing a great job since he got in the league. You know, he's been playing his heart out. You know, the best in my opinion in the game right now. And you know, he continues to grind and work each and every day to make sure he's the best.
So, Bud, obviously, your defense, you guys give up 6 points to a great quarterback and a great offense on the road in the second half on one bus. But other than that, I think they got one first down in their last four possessions. What worked for you guys? Was this an adjustment thing at halftime? Was it just, you know, just making more plays? What changed in that game on your side of the ball?
Yeah, man, adjustments. You know, everyone's still fairly new, trying to get used to each other back on the defense side of the ball. So, you know, with those adjustments that we can make during in-game is clutch. You know, being able to capitalize on if we see something going wrong and being able to, you know, pick up what happened right away is always one of the best professional approaches, you know, to correct the mistakes and be coming out and making more plays.
But how about you personally? You obviously coming off the injury and look great out there, moving really well. How do you feel after the first two games? How's it gone for you personally so far?
Man, you know, I'm still trying to get back in the groove, man. Still doing my rehab, taking it serious each and every day. Just trying to get back to my daily beat level that I was at. And you know, it just takes time. But other than that, man, you know, I'm in good spirits, and just trying to get how many reps they give me a game. I'm just trying to build on that, build his leg up, man, so I can when it's time, man, I'm gonna be ready and be back, explosive and everything going well.
So pre-injury, if it's at 100, then where overall, like your overall explosiveness, all that stuff, what number would you put it at now on a scale 1 to 100?
I know, man. You always want to say you're the same, man, but everybody know. Cause yeah, like a major group score the surgery. So man, coming back in, you know, what would I say? I don't even know. I don't even want to say a number yet. I don't even want to say a number.
Do you feel like it's close? Does it get closer each week, or
yeah,
the wear and tear of a game has got to be tough, right?
Yeah, that's the main thing of just wear and tear on the game. But you know, getting closer and closer to the screen standpoint, to the explosive standpoint and all that, man, you know, it's getting closer. And each and every week, you know, it improves. And, you know, we're still attacking it in the training room, just making sure that we're on top of it.
Titans outside linebacker Bud Dupree on the line with us, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. So, Bud, it's been an interesting challenge for you and the Titans defense the first couple of weeks. I'm interested to get your thoughts on it. You know, having a pass rush against guys like Kyler Murray and Russell Wilson, who are so quick and they can escape the pocket and do so many things, as you know, how does that kind of change your approach as a pass rusher when you're going up against quarterbacks like Kyler Murray and Russell Wilson that can move around so well?
Yeah, man, you always got to know that any given moment they can make a big play. So for instance, you know, getting Kyler Murray out of the pocket, you know, you always want to get the quarterback out the spot, you always want to get the quarterback outside of the pocket. But in Kyler Murray's case, that once he gets outside of the pocket, he's looking to throw the ball in. His receivers still run their route, so it can be intriguing, you know, just to want to go up and hit them for the defensive backs and guys who are in coverage, but they got to stay under man because he can hit you with a bomb. You know, any given moment it'll be a deep ball, and you know they can capitalize at that moment. So you know you want to contain them, you want to keep them in the pocket as well, but you know you want to flush them out of the pocket and get good pass rush. But you know you always want to be aware that if he does get outside of the pocket, you got to go ahead and get them on the ground because they will still continue to make big plays with their arm, even though they're using their legs.
But in recent years, you know, the Titans have had sort of a reputation of, you know, maybe a bad game or even within a game, you know, bad half, you're down big, they come back. I mean, last week, obviously, you guys, you know, rough opener against the Cardinals, not a lot of people picking you to win in Seattle. You guys come back and get it done. What have you noticed coming from Pittsburgh to this locker room in terms of, you know, the leadership, the locker room makeup, the even from Vrabel on down, how the approach, and maybe just the difference from Pittsburgh to here for you?
I mean, you know, it's football leadership is football leadership at the end of the day. You know, you got great guys on each, great leaders on each level, on both sides of, on both teams. And, you know, here, man, these guys just, they take pride in this Titan way. They have a point of proof, and everyone has a chip on their shoulder, and, like, and it starts from the head coach all the way to the last person in the building. So, you know, we all take that upon ourselves to just walk around with a chip on our shoulders. You know, we knew no one picked us to win that game. So we want to go out, make sure we just played our best ability. And then we started out rough. We came in, made adjustments, and continued to play well. You know, guys came in the locker room and made adjustments, you know, talk here and there, let people know what we're doing wrong, and it worked out for us at the end of the game.
But what about some of the younger guys in your room with Harold Landry and Rashad Weaver? What do you think that you guys have in those younger guys?
Man, you know, those guys are talented, man. You know, Harold's a great speed guy, man. Weaver, man, he's coming along to his own. Ola as well, man. Ola is going in, and, man, he's playing hard. He's working hard right away. You know, Roby, man. Those guys are making plays, and, you know, each and every day, man, we try to go out on the field and get better and better. So that's always a plus when you got guys who want to learn and want to get better from the coach.
Bud, talking to Jeffrey Simmons yesterday, and actually Ryan Tannehill kind of said the same sort of thing. It sounds like you guys are looking at this game like it's definitely going to be, and I know this game is always physical, but an especially physical game against these guys. And I know you've seen the Colts in the past with that offensive line, really good backs, some uncertainty at quarterback. But is this even maybe more of a, I guess, a box game than in some other weeks where it's just a real test of physicality on both sides?
Oh, for sure, man. AFC football. You know, AFC football is all about physicality. That's what you're going to get. You know, especially the coming down, these guys know, they don't want to lose to us because of the conference game. We don't want to lose them because of the conference game. So each team is going to go out and get their best and be the most physical they can. They dedicate their team out running the ball. We dedicate our team out running the ball. So, you know, it's going to be a head-to-head clash. And man, that's part of football. That's what you get. That's what people sign up for. We just put your helmet on and hit people. So at the end of the day, man, we know we're going to get ourselves into. They know what they're getting themselves into. We just got to be the most physical team, to play hard, play fast, you know, just being within our scheme.
And what about Carson Wentz? Obviously, no one knows at this point. He didn't practice yesterday. But he's a guy who also has done a lot with his feet. I mean, he extends plays and things like that. When, as you're watching him on film this week, you know, with the Colts, what are you seeing? Does he look like, you know, the Carson Wentz of when he was one of the top quarterbacks in the league a few years ago?
Man, he looked you never can count Carson Wentz out, man. He's a premier athlete. This is what he is. You know, he's going to make those plays that he needs to make. As far as health standpoint, you know, we'll find out closer to the game. You know, you never want to see people get injured. That's just not, as a professional athlete, you never want to see another person just get injured because everyone knows how it feels to go through injury. But, man, yeah, no, he's dealing with the stuff right now, so we'll see if he plays and prepare for whoever's at quarterback.
Titans outside linebacker Bud Dupree has been our guest here on Robbie and Rex Road. Bud, great stuff, man. Appreciate you taking time to join us, and good luck on Sunday against Indianapolis.
All right, thank you.
Absolutely. Thanks, Bud Dupree, Titans outside linebacker, our guest here on Robbie and Rex Road. Some good stuff from Bud Dupree there. I thought it was interesting. He kind of let you behind the curtain there of he's not back at 100% yet, and he wouldn't put a number on it, but I don't think that's a big surprise that Bud Dupree is not fully Bud Dupree yet at this point in terms of his ACL recovery.
Yeah, so it's obviously the knees healed. There's no way he'd be playing if not. Same thing with Taylor Lewan. But there's more to it than that. I mean, Bud Dupree, that's the thing, the difference there. I think it's about a six-week difference
Yeah.
between Bud and Taylor. And I mean, Bud Dupree was late in the season. I think early December, right? Or late November.
Yeah.
So it's been obviously a very successful rehab, but so much else is affected on your body. And then I think the mental aspect of it is probably as big as anything. Even though ACL repairs now are, you know, relatively routine and a lot of guys come back and you can't even tell the difference eventually. I mean, I think especially in the early going, you gotta have some understanding that it's not going to be all the way back. And I think we're kind of seeing that a little bit with Luan. But, you know, with Dupree, I feel like he's moved well out there. I think he's made some plays. Obviously, you know, the Titans brought him in to, you know, to get sacks, and that's going to be important this year. But I would say through two games, you're seeing a lot of, I think, good snaps. I thought last week he and Landry actually were important in that game, even when they weren't necessarily making the play. I think that they still applied pressure, and I thought that the Titans were very disciplined in how they pressured Wilson. It worked pretty well for him.
Yeah, I think it did work well for him. And, you know, Bud Dupree, we talked about on Monday, big hit towards the end of the game on Russell Wilson. Want to play where who knows what happens if Russell Wilson's able to get that ball off. I thought a really good and important play there. And, you know, there's not a sack that's come yet with Bud Dupree, and I think that'll come with time. I just, as he put it, you can kind of see what the goal is with him, and that is as the season goes on and the games become more and more important, hopefully his knee and the explosiveness starts to return at a higher level for Bud Dupree.
Yeah, and that play was, I mean, that was the classic Russell Wilson breaks the pocket, and I don't know what was going to happen on that play, but possibly something bad for the Titans. That was actually a really important play where, again, it shows up in the stat sheet as a QBH. Sometimes those are as important as anything.
Yeah, absolutely. And we'll see if Bud Dupree can start to build on that against Indianapolis as well. This is an interesting challenge because, you know, he brought up Kyler Murray and Russell Wilson, and, you know, especially as a pass rusher, kind of the different approach you've got to take with those guys in order to either corral them or make sure they just don't absolutely kill you in the running game. And Bud Dupree got a front row seat to Kyler Murray in week one on that crazy play that he made running 47 yards all over the field. Not going to be that way against Indianapolis this week. You know, Carson Wentz can run around and he's mobile. He's probably not going to be all that mobile this week if he's able to go. So it's a different challenge this week if you're the Titans. I think you're going to see a pretty motivated Indianapolis offensive line. They've gotten a lot of flack the first couple of weeks of the season, and obviously they're very highly paid and supposedly the strength of the team for the Indianapolis Colts. So I think you're going to see a very motivated Colts offensive line coming up on Sunday. Question is, if you're Bud Dupree, Harold Landry, Jeffrey Simmons, can you break through that and generate a pass rush anyway? Because through the first 2 weeks, that's been a big weakness for this Colts front is they've given up some hits on the quarterback, and you got to make sure that trend continues if you're the Titans.
I mean, you go through the rest of the schedule, they won't face anything like they've faced the first 2 weeks, other than, obviously, October 24th, Patrick Mahomes comes to town. Okay, that's a totally different, you know, it's more like a Russell Wilson kind of challenge than it is a Kyler Murray. Kyler Murray is a different category to me in terms of elusiveness. But you go through the schedule, some great quarterbacks on the schedule, and some very mediocre ones, too, by the way, on the schedule. But nothing like the first two games.
I mean, Davis Mills may run around. We'll see.
Well, that is true. You just never know. But the physicality of this game is, yeah, if the Colts are what they're supposed to be, what they've been up front, and Eric Fisher's a big thing with that. I mean, is Eric Fisher – look, Eric Fisher is going to be blocking Bud Dupree.
Yep.
I mean, that's largely what the matchup will be. Can he block him by himself? Does he need help? I mean, this is an opportunity for Bud Dupree to get in the backfield, but it's also, as they said, and it's clear, like what the message is in the building from interviews yesterday, you know, this is very much they are going to try to impose themselves. They've got really good backs. The Titans' rush defense has been good. I don't know that it's been tested nearly like it will be tested Sunday. And that's another thing about Bud Dupree coming in that I think the Titans liked about him. Yes, they brought him in to sack the quarterback, to be a pass rusher, but he has been a very well-regarded run defender, physical guy setting the edge and things like that, and that stuff's going to be obviously important this week.
And by the way, Bud Dupree did not practice yesterday for the Titans. That seems like that may be the plan, at least in the immediate future for Bud Dupree, is that Wednesday, maybe take it easy, let that knee heal up and rest up, and then he'll be good to go throughout the latter part of the week and into game day on Sunday.
Yeah, I mean, last week it was nothing Wednesday, and then it was limited Thursday, and I think quite limited. And that was also, remember, first game, and he played a ton of snaps in the first game. So you're talking big, big usage right away. So it'll be interesting today. Does he do more this Thursday than he did last Thursday? But I would bet that a lot of Wednesdays, there will, you know, Bud Dupree and others will not be out there. I mean, today is a big thing. Is Ben Jones getting back out there? Is Roger Saffold getting back out there? Jayon Brown, Anthony Firkser, quite a list for this early in the season.
It is. We should have taken a screenshot of the Week One list.
Yeah, like
there's like three people on it.
Yeah, immediately. You know, you go play one of these games. Yeah. Takes a toll right away.
When we come back, we'll continue the conversation on the Titans. We'll be joined by Ben Arthur from the Tennessean. Does a great job covering the Titans for that outlet. That's coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Hey, it's Ryan Seacrest here, and if you're looking for some serious fun, head over to ChumbaCasino.com. At Chumba Casino, you can play all your favorite social casino-style games for free anytime, anywhere. It's the most fun you can have on your phone or computer.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21+.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks. Like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.